false prophet, Jesus. He's going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Now, these are exciting scriptures here. There's nothing more exciting than Jesus Christ. Nothing more exciting than Jesus. Nothing better than his story. History. History is his story. It's all about Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus will destroy the beast and establish an eternal kingdom. Daniel 2. And in the days of these kings, he was interpreting this image, so he's talking about these 10 toes here. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Amen. I like that part. Daniel 8 says about this beast, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, even to the King of kings and Lord of lords, the prince of God's army. He magnified himself even against Jesus. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Nobody's going to do it. You know why God let him recover from that deathly wound? Because he wanted him. It's like in the old movies. Nah, I want him. He's mine. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Whoever tried to kill him sinned. Because God wanted him. That's why God healed him. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, Revelation 16 happens after the church is caught up in the air to meet the Lord and taken to meet the Father. That happens in Revelation 14. Jesus appears on the cloud and reaps the harvest of God. And then while we're in the presence of God, he gets real angry with the beast and his kingdom. Revelation 16 is when God pours out his wrath without measure. But this is how he does it. One way he does it. Revelation 16, John saw three unclean spirits of demons. It calls them devils in the King James, but that's not correct. No such thing as devils. There's not but one of them. These are demons. I saw three unclean spirits of demons working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. In other words, God wanted to, when he smashed his hammer down, he wanted all those bad guys underneath it. So he sent these demons speaking words and declaring holy war against the Jews. So all the nations of the earth gather. That's what God wanted. Get them all together. Gather there to do the, you know, Hitler's final solution. What he called the final solution, just kill all the Jews. This is Satan's final solution in reality. All the nations of the earth turn against Israel through the power, the deceitful power of those demons that go out working miracles out of the mouth of Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet in all directions, gathering all the nations to finally just rid the earth of the Jews. Zechariah 14, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Satan thought it was his idea. And the cities, look, the cities of Israel now shall be taken. The beast is going to win. His armies win. They march right through. The Jews can't resist such a man as this. The cities shall be taken and the houses rifled and the women ravished, and half the city shall go into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. They'll stay there. And I'll bring a third part of them through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. In other words, two-thirds of all the Jews in Israel are killed or taken into captivity as slaves. The beast wins. And he's just about to just finish the whole job. When Revelation 14:3, can you imagine what those Jews are doing? Crying, begging the God of Abraham, help, help, help. Giving up. Getting discouraged. Watching parents slaughtered, our children slaughtered, our brothers and sisters taken into captivity and being brutalized by the beast and his army. And no Jews have no hope of winning. All they can do is just cry out somehow that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will help them. And that's what God wanted them to do. Zechariah 14:3, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." And Revelation 19 is what we're going to read now, describes Jesus coming back to rescue the remnant of Israel. Revelation 19:11. "And I saw heaven opened." That's where Jesus and the saints have been during the last few months when God was plaguing the earth and the beast was gathering his armies against Israel. "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war." Amen. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns." Satan didn't have but 10. "And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." You know, you're going to have a name given to you by God, and nobody else but you and God are going to know it. That's what Revelation chapter 2 says, I think it is. Not 2, it's 3. That if you overcome the world, you're going to be given a white stone by God. And in that stone is your name that nobody knows but you and God. "And he has a name written that no man knew but he himself." That's your password. In eternity, you got a password. Or a username, one or the other. "And look at this. He was clothed with a vesture that had already been dipped in blood." He's a warrior. He's not afraid to see blood or cause it. "And his name is called the Word of God." Guess who? Praise God. Jesus. The one that was with God in the beginning and the one that is God. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." Oh, man. Sister Willie on a white horse. Shouting, "Praise God," all the way down. Amen. You want to ride a white horse, honey? Yeah. Yeah.
So John, is the church called up for this happening?
Yeah. Revelation 14. We've been up there and been introduced to the Father for a few months.
But the Jews are still
here. Jews are still down here. Having to face the beast alone. The prayers of the church are what has kept Israel alive all these years. Revelation 12 says the dragon wanted to destroy the woman, but the earth opened up its mouth, kept her. Well, glory to God. The church is taken out of the way. They don't have anybody to pray for them. They don't have anybody down here. And the beast attacks. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Can you picture yourself riding behind Jesus saying, "Get him"? Praise God. Amen. He's going to do all the fighting. All we do is riding behind. Praise God. Amen. "And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And Jesus said, if you overcome the world, you'll rule with me. And he treadeth. You know, when they got grapes, they used to have to tread them out. They'd hire, certain servants would walk around that huge vat and full of grapes and mash them down with their feet. That's how you got wine. You treaded the wine press, where you press the wine out of the grapes. That's why it's called a wine press. And they just stomped it. They stomped the wine out, let it run out, and then ferment and become wine. Jesus treads the wine press of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He throws people in that wine press and tramps on them. That's what Jesus is going to do. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And just before he comes on down, I saw an angel stand in the sun. He had power over fire. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, all the buzzards and vultures and all those meat-eating animals, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. God's going to have a communion service. That you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them. And the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Invited the buzzards, and I can just see millions of buzzards and vultures and all those kind of birds flocking toward Israel to help clean up the land when Jesus finishes. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now this is spectacular. This is big. This is big, y'all. Remember what Luke said? This is big. It's a battle of all battles. This is the mother of all wars. This is, have all the nations of the earth and the beast who's wiser than Daniel, more powerful. Oh my goodness. The false prophet who gives life to an image and makes it speak and tell all the world to worship the beast or die. All these one, Satan's power himself, and here comes Jesus, and it's the biggest scene in history, and it says, the beast was taken. There's no contest. Oh, man. Man. I mean, you're waiting for all this and it just... He was taken. Glory to God. Jesus opened his mouth and it was all over. Praise God. In Zechariah it says that the meat, the flesh and the meat, are going to be consumed off people's bodies before they even have a chance to fall to the ground. When Jesus fights, he wins. Quick. The beast was taken. Isn't that something? The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. Glory to God. There is no power against God. With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. As for their armies, that's what made the river of blood 200 miles long and 5 feet deep. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. We didn't do a thing. We didn't have to. It didn't take Jesus but just a few minutes. Praise God. Glory to God. which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh at the God's supper that he invited them to. Daniel chapter 7, on the end of page 4 here. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. He saw the whole thing. Oh yeah, the vineyard of red wine. Yeah. This is where that, yeah. That's all right, isn't it? Praise God. Amen. And Jesus mashed out the grapes from that vineyard. At long last, finally, in number 7 here on page 5, at long last the Jews will acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah. How could they not? How could they not? Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. You know, you can't even ask God for mercy unless He puts it on you. And He's going to finally give it back to the Jews so that they can cry out for mercy. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. My goodness, can you imagine the astonishment? We see the symbol of it. We see the parable of it that God gave us in the book of Joseph. Book of Genesis, when Joseph's brothers had sold him, figured he was dead or a slave in Ethiopia or somewhere on the earth, long gone. And then Zaphnath-Paaneah, speaking a foreign language, screams and all the servants run out and leave him with those men. And he says, I am Joseph, your brother. They could not speak. They could not get words up. He was a symbol of Jesus who was abused by his kinfolk, in the house of his relatives or friends. It could be translated either way. In the house of his friends, he was abused and cast out so that he could save them. You read it right here. Zechariah 13, and one shall say unto Jesus, what are these wounds? And you're a hero. Nobody can beat you. How'd you get wounds? And he shall answer, these are those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Can you imagine what they're going to think? 2,000 years of cursing His name, and He came out of heaven to save us. We missed Him. We missed Him. Generations cursed Him. And He's the one that loved us. And they shall mourn for Him. You talk about repenting. They shall mourn for Jesus as one mourneth for his only son that has been killed. And shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn that has died. Then shall they call upon me and I will hear them. After all those years, they called upon him when Hitler was murdering them. He didn't hear them. What he was still hearing was, let his blood be on us and on our children. That's what he was still hearing. He's going to stop hearing that after a while and hear their cry. Praise God. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. In that day, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as in the mourning of all Judah and Jerusalem when King Josiah was slain. And the land shall mourn. And in that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. And I will cause the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. You talk about people getting the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. That fountain's going to be open up to them. And they're going to be drinking it in. Mercy. Goodness. Cleansing from sin. And that unclean spirit that's in charge of the Jews now, blinding their eyes, is going to leave that place. It says immediately. If someone will not submit to Jesus, his own mother and father will kill him among the Jews. They've had enough of that. They're up to here with it. They're ready to reign with him. Glory to God. We want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that when that fountain of sin and unclean for sin and uncleanness is opened up to the Jews, and they're bawling, and they're so astonished and ashamed of themselves and so hurt over what they've done to God's Son, when that Holy Ghost falls on them, we want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that it doesn't make us jealous. That we can say, we know what you're talking about. We know what you mean. I feel the same way. Glory to God. I was guilty too one time. You know who killed Jesus? Everybody. Jews and the Gentiles. We're all guilty. And if we're not serving Him right now, the hammer is still in our hand. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, my. Let's get under that fountain now. Let Him clean out all the wrinkles and all the spots. Amen. Any such thing. No blemish on your garments. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God inhabits eternity. He sits on the circle of the earth beholding men. He dwells in the high and holy place, but He also dwells with a contrite heart. He'll look to a contrite man. People who need the Holy Ghost need to get contrite. That's what the Jews finally got to. They were contrite before God. And they meant business. Oh, God, yes, we mean business, God. Yes, God, we mean business. God, you're right and everybody else is wrong. You're faithful and everybody else is unfaithful. Fill us with your goodness, God. You're good and nobody else is. Oh, God, help us and make us yours in truth. Make us yours together. We want to ride on the white horse with Jesus. We want to ride with Jesus. Oh God, let us be in that number. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we need you. God, make us pure. Wash our sins away. Purify our hearts through faith. Purify us, God. Give us hearts that are contrite, spirits that are humble and desperate for goodness from God. Make us desperate for your mercy, desperate for your truth, desperate for your power, desperate for your wisdom, desperate for your knowledge. Desperate, God. Desperate for the gifts and the works of the Spirit. Desperate for the fruit of your Spirit. Desperate for your thoughts, oh God. Desperate for our homeland. Desperate to please you. Desperate to obey your commandments. Desperate to hear your word and keep it. Desperate to do things that please you. Desperate to love you with all our mind and heart and soul and strength. Desperate to love our neighbors as ourselves. Desperate to do good unto all men, especially them that are of the household of faith. Desperate, God. Oh, no, 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 Messiah, help us. Strengthen our hearts to be desperate. Desperate men in a desert, Lord. Desperate for your water. Desperate for your help. Desperate for your guidance across the desert. Desperate for your shade. Desperate for the cloud to lead us home. Manono, Messiah. Desperate, oh God, for humility. Desperate for faith. Desperate for goodness. Desperate for patience. Desperate for joy. Desperate for peace. Desperate for righteousness. Make us yours, God. Be pleased with us. Be pleased in us. Be pleased by us. Let us hear from you, Lord. Speak plainly to your people. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. God, yes. God, yes. Amen. God, yes. God, yes. God, yes, we need you, God. We cannot go by our own strength, our own wisdom, our own thoughts, our own history. God, we're going by yours. Let us live in the beauty of your holiness. Let us know you, God. That is life eternal. Let us know you. Speak to us, Jesus. Speak to us, Jesus. Speak to us, Jesus. And give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to understand. Holy, 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 holy That's our life, Lord.
Holy, holy.
That's our life.
Holy, holy.
Lord.
Holy, holy.
That's our life.
Holy, holy. Holy is His name. Holy is His name.
God, yes. God, yes.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is His name. Jesus is His name. Jesus is His name. The deliverer of His children. Jesus is His name. Praise God, praise God.
God, we are so in need. I am so in need, Jesus, of Your mercy.
We must be holy.
God, I am holy, so holy, unworthy holy. Of Your name.
Holy, holy, holy.
God.
To ride with the King. Holy, 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 baby. Holy to ride with the King. The King of Kings. Oh, Lord, I must hear. Before Jesus, if we want to ride with Him, if we want to reign with Him. But John was praying that prayer before when he finished. All those words, the Spirit was just leaping out in me. Make us a holy people, God. Cleanse us, God. Unite us, God. Put us together, God. Make us one in You, one in the Spirit. Let us love each other in truth and holiness. Let us be the people come forward and be worthy for You to come forward.
Amen.
Let us be ready to reign with You.
Us
be ready. Let us be holy. Let us be holy, not just the word holy. Let our lives and our hearts and our thoughts and our minds be holy. Let them be cleansed by the power of God.
Amen.
Let us love Him in truth and in deed and not just in word only. Let us be a holy people. He is coming for a holy people. We don't want to get left. We don't want to get left. We don't want to be the ones that He presses down under His feet. We want to be saved. We want to reign with Him. Going over this tonight, I was just watching it and watching how John was just bringing it all out. I said, God, it's almost too true to believe. It's almost too good to believe that it's really going to happen like this. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. That day is going to come, and He doesn't want us to be caught unaware. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to put our hearts into it and work towards His coming. Help people. Get the truth out. That's what's going to save His people. They're lost. They don't have a clue to what's coming. They don't have a clue that this is really going to happen. But it's going to happen. And we don't want to be found guilty of not doing our part. To be found guilty.
You know,
the horror of when you stand there before him and he says, no part with me. Go away. You can't change that day when it happens. That's the final judgment. You can't change that. There's no going back saying, oh, wait just a minute, Lord, let me go back and do this one thing. Or let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Or let me do this, or let me do that. When that day comes, that's it. There is no second chance. There is none. Because when he speaks, that's the end of it. That's the end of the matter. My heart felt like it was going to leap out of my chest. I could just see us riding with Jesus on that horse and him in front. And it's like I was going across the sword and said, yes, Lord, and he's in front of me. And the power was just lifting me down. And I was going with him. And we were going with him. And that's what it's going to take. Mm-hmm. It's going to take that power that you feel in your spirit and your breast just rise you up and go with him.
I know.
That's what it's going to take.
Amen.
We can just go. We can just go. Say, come on, Jesus, let's
Amen.
Go.
Amen.
We get that confidence. We got to get our lives in order. What God wants, we get that confidence to ride with Him. To ride
yes.
With him. And not sit back and hold on.
Yeah.
Ride with Him.
Amen.
We've got a wonderful work to do for Jesus. Everybody does their part. Everybody.
Amen.
Does that part. And it'll be no burden putting on me
though. Amen. Amen.
And we can do this thing. Jesus has laid us the most holy things of his tabernacle in our hands. He's put them for us. The holy of holy things. He trusts his people to handle. And we need to handle them with the pure holiness of God. The pure respect of God. The pure knowledge of God.
Amen.
Don't be slack concerning God's work. Concerning what he wants you to do. Everybody has a part. Don't anybody get slack. Don't anybody pout. Don't anybody whine. Look what happened to Miriam when she got called in there and delayed the progress. We don't want to delay God's coming. We want to do our part.
Hasten it.
Hasten the day of his coming. Work like little bees around, excited. Get excited about what's going on. What's going on with God? What's going on with the things that's happening? What's going on with the messages that's being preached?
Yeah.
What's going on with the new changes that are taking place now with us? How we can get the work out more. How we can meet more people, talk to more people, communicate with more people. Excitement in that. Every time we get excited and somebody gets a hold of it, that just makes everything work. It's everything work. Because we know when one person gets excited, that's not just one person gets excited. It's like a chain reaction, and it goes from person to person to person. And that's how it spreads. And that's what we want. If nobody ever decides to do anything to come get right with God, we still do our part. That's right. We do our part. God judges the rest. But it's exciting. It's exciting. We don't want to lose that excitement that we had when we first started. You got to be excited. You got, like Amy said, you got to be desperate to get the Holy Ghost. You got to want that more when you want to take your next breath.
Amen.
Because you feel like if you don't get it, you won't have it.
Amen.
It's got to be that important to you. It's got to be a sign these twin to you. It's got to be so joined to you that it can't be separated.
Praise
Nothing
God.
Can separate it. Nothing can take the place of it. Nothing. You can't be comforted by anything in this world to take that joy away from you or that excitement or that drive to get the Holy Ghost. And then after you get it, you got to have that same drive. That same drive to keep right on pressing through. Going on. That's what it's going to take. If we get slack in it, we're going to falter somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like John said, we'll have our guard down.
Yeah.
And something could happen. We don't want that.
No.
Praise God. Who was it that said the Old Testament was boring? In other words, who doesn't know the Old Testament?
Well, I found out you don't have to wait for Jesus to come on that horse and ride with him.
Amen.
You can ride with him now.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. prayed for. God help his people, the Jews.